Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner. Got a great show lined up this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about emergency services this morning. We've got Mr. Kyle Haney from what is your exact position now? It's EMT.
It's Emergency Management Agency, so I'm the Director of Emergency Management.
Okay. And Jason Emerton, who is the Fire Chief.
No, I'm the director of the ambulance service.
Excuse me, the director of the fire chief is independent, isn't he?
Right.
You're director of the ambulance service. So we've got, and this is a pretty good time to be talking about those things because we had another fairly rough night here in the area last night. But we'll be talking to them here in a few minutes. But we'd once again like to welcome you in here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, as we do here on the Clay County Corner, coming to you live and in living color from the old clerk's office. And we've got pretty good weather over here right now. The sun's not shining much, but it's pretty nice. Got a few drizzles falling down, but we're going to spend the next hour talking to our guest this morning, and we'd invite you to run real quick when we go to our break and get your second cup of coffee, make it back. Call your friends and tell them to tune us in, or would remind you that we'll be rebroadcast this evening at 6 p.m., and all of our shows get streamed on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper site, so there's all kinds of opportunities to listen to us. And with that said, we'll go through, and we'd like to thank the folks that make this show possible each Thursday morning here at 9 a.m., and that is the three-star program and the Clay County Chamber who help with the financing of this thing. And also the folks that really help with the financing are our good sponsors here in the county, our merchants, just anyone that wants to advertise here. And we'd like to invite anyone that's not an advertiser right now to join in, but we keep trying to convince everybody not to take all their money to Coolville, to spend part of it here in Salina. And we're in the process of getting ready for the spring tourist season to start, and we know we're going to have lots of folks coming through. And, of course, we know that may make a little bit of extra work for the folks sitting here because sometimes they get called out to run up to the lake to check on an emergency up there, or we have some accidents that happen sometimes, and boats back in the lake, people fall in the lake. Right now we've got a problem that's, I guess, it's kind of a nice problem to have, and that is parking around the lake, around the marinas and things up the lake now. I know that's, last summer was a tremendous problem, and I don't know, we'll come up with something to take care of all that, but like I said, we've got these two gentlemen with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Going to let them kind of introduce themselves to the folks here in Clay County and get a little background on them and tell us about their jobs. And with that, we'll take just a little short break. We'll come back, and we will talk about something else.
Sounds good.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I really don't know where to start with you guys, other than start, I guess, Kyle. Just let you introduce yourself. I know that you're fairly new on the job here. I know you took Natalie Boone's spot here. And first off, just kind of tell us about yourself a little bit.
I'm a 2011 graduate of Clay County High School. Me and my wife currently live in Clay County. I'm a 2013 graduate of TCAT over in Livingston. That's where I got my EMT certification. And 2016 and 2017, graduated paramedic school, and then shortly after I got my critical care, and I took over emergency management December 9th, I believe it was. Natalie took a promotion. She went to the state level of emergency management, which would be TEMA, and she asked me if I'd be interested in this, and I kind of job shadowed her a little bit, and she kind of showed me the ropes a little and kind of got me into it, so here I am, and trying to make the best of it, but I'm honored that you invited us here this morning. I appreciate it. It's good to get out and talk about it, and a little bit about what I do is emergency and disaster preparation, planning and response, and especially this time of year, response and planning is a big ordeal with the severe weather that comes around, especially for us. According to last night was a good example. We had those tornadoes out in West Tennessee, and just kind of monitoring that just to make sure it's going to break up and that I can alert people via social media or other warnings if I think a tornado is going to be heading this way, and also set off the tornado sirens as well.
Okay, now you just hit something there, the tornado sirens. Do we have them out in the county at various places? And you, where are those things located? Yeah.
So one of them is located here in Salina up behind the Catholic Church up there on the hill, kind of back behind Subway. And the other one's out in Hermitage Springs. So we only have two in the county. A future goal of mine is to get two more, maybe one for the Moss area and one for the East Clay area. I just want to remind people that it is an outdoor warning system. So if you're inside, you may not hear it. That's why we always recommend that you get a tornado or, a weather radio and have it programmed so it'll alert you inside. And there's also quite a few apps that you can download as well that'll alert you as well on your phone if something happens in the middle of the night.
Okay, and I know we hear the things about the safe spots, those type things. But another thing I want to talk about is your position itself. Is this a county position that each county must have, or?
Yes, it's a county appointed position. Each county has to have one for mitigation and planning, so recently that flooding happened, I got with the highway department and we worked with TEMA to get reimbursement for the county for all the damage to the roads and stuff like that. So it is a county appointed position. You have to have one in the state of Tennessee.
Okay, then you just hit something there. If we have any type of disaster, what we might even call just a minor catastrophe, how important is reporting by the citizens to us in this county?
It's very important. Of course, we don't know what's going on unless someone reports it, because we can't be in every place in the county looking at certain areas. Unless it's just that one area that was damaged itself, then we will probably be there. But reporting is a main factor that plays into it. After the last flood that happened, several roadways were damaged, and Jason Browning and local citizens called into our dispatch, and they would report what road was damaged, and me and Jason Browning can go out and kind of get the trees out of the road and take care of it from there. So,
okay, now I know the reporting on that also, it has a major effect on sometimes on disaster funding, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Just so you can get reimbursement for something that is damaged in a livable area inside your house. So if you had flooding that got in there and completely destroyed your home or something like that, we can work with FEMA and FEMA to get you reimbursement if need be.
And really and truly, there's nothing too minor to report, is there?
No, everything's reportable. From the smallest thing up to the biggest thing, that's how we kind of operate. Like I said, we don't know what exactly is going on unless someone reports it. And I say, if someone reports something in that area, more than likely I have something else in that area that I need to be looking for as well.
And also, a whole lot of little damage can make a big difference, can't it, when we go through the refunding or the, you know, helping folks out with damage.
That's correct. It all adds up to the amount that we have to report. So I believe ours is somewhere between $30,000 before we have to meet that limit before we actually get the federal level of reimbursement.
Okay, there is a threshold there that you must meet with the damage here. Okay, now, I know you've been in this area for quite a while, and you said doing lots of different things. But before we get a little bit deeper into your job down there now, you know, you've talked about paramedic, air vac.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that, you know, kind of stand out in your mind up to this point in time, things you've been involved with as a paramedic, do that first. Tell us a little bit about that, some of the things that maybe just right offhand that kind of struck you as something unusual or something that need talking about.
So I started in 2013, and I actually started in the rescue squad, and then got into the fire department out at East 52 with James King Horn, and he really got me into the emergency services side of it, and just being out in the county and seeing the people and treating people that you know, like I might be saving lives one night, and then the next day I walk into Save a Lot to go get groceries and see a family member, and they remember you. As in, you live in the county and you're a citizen as long as a paramedic inside this county as well.
Okay, now, the air vac folks, did you work for, I guess, do we have more than one that serves this area? Or?
Yeah, we have Albany, Kentucky, so that's Air Vac 14. And then you have Lafayette in Macon County, and that's Air Vac 19. So depending on if one of their aircraft is out, we have another aircraft to come from that area.
Okay, now, limitations on those, times that you can and can't fly.
Weather plays a big, big factor into it. They have to meet minimums for air cloud cover, and the FFA really regulates what they can and can't fly in. But when we ask for an aircraft, it's more about time sensitivity, so major trauma or strokes or something where we want to get someone to the highest level of care that we can get them to in the shortest amount of time.
And I do know that I think Vanderbilt has some flying machines that can fly just about anything short of a hurricane, maybe.
Yeah, so they run in IFR, which is instrumented flight rules, so they can fly in a little bit more adverse weather than what AirVac, because they fly in visual flight rules. So that's a good resource that we have, too, and they're out of Cookeville, and we also have Erlanger, which is out of Sparta.
Chattanooga.
So, yeah.
Chattanooga folks.
Yeah, but unfortunately, if we check the status of one and one declines, they're declining for a reason, so all the others are going to decline, and we'll have to divert and transport
right.
by ground.
Once you get to that level, it's loaded up in the ambulance. And
that's it, yeah. So it's all about time for us. We're just trying to get the person to where they need to in the shortest amount of time. So if you had a stroke, we need to get you to a stroke intervention facility in less than 3 hours so you don't have any long-term deficits.
You know, I know I speak of that from practical experience. Once about, 8 or 10 years ago, I passed out on a school bus and fell to the parking lot, and they thought I'd had a heart attack. And I know they called the folks from Lafayette, and I think Lafayette came down and got me and took me to Lafayette, and then they had to call Vanderbilt to come to Lafayette to take me on to Nashville.
Yeah.
Which it turned out I think I had a virus or something and just passed out. But I know from that, and that it's a great service that we have, and it's not all that expensive, but it's something that we definitely need.
Yes.
Okay. Now, looking at your job, I don't know. I know, of course, you couldn't hardly get anything out of Natalie when you were talking to her, and I think maybe she's educated you a little bit on that, because Sounds like you've got it there on the tip of your tongue. But your job, I mean, what do you think about that now that you've been into it a while?
It's definitely a learning curve. Like I said, I've been at the ambulance service itself, which is its own different organization as compared to emergency management. It's definitely a learning curve, and as of right now, the classes that TEMA teaches you how to be an EMA director, they're somewhat shut down due to COVID, so there's no in-person training. So I rely a lot on Natalie from her past experience. She was an excellent EMA director, and I call her for advice, and my state level coordinator, district coordinator, Rick Williams, they understand that I'm fairly new at this. And
so, okay, now if we have a tornado touchdown in Clay County, mm-hmm. and we have property damage, maybe even to the worst extreme, we've had a fatality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that do to you?
So the job-wise, I would be boots on ground, coordinating resources that we have that to make sure that we have exactly what we need to mitigate any further loss of life, and to estimate the damage and report that up to the National Weather Service, and pretty much just I would be boots on ground there, coordinating other resources to limit.
But the type of activity now that you're involved in is totally different when you were ground level and went out and to rescue people and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you miss that part of it at all?
Yeah, I miss that part of it. That's the hardest part for me to learn. Instead of being in there and getting it, being boots on the ground and actually doing stuff, is stepping back and saying, hey, okay, I need someone to do this for me. So I would have the fire department do this, SO, ask them if they could do this, my rescue squad if they could do this, instead of actually being in there and performing the duties myself. So that's the biggest change, I would say, that I'm having to learn and work through myself.
And sitting there thinking, I could just go do this myself.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not supposed to do it. You've got everybody now. You're responsible for everyone, aren't you?
Yes, they're underneath the umbrella, and then
right.
Yeah. So
okay, well, let's take a little short break. Come back, and we may let Jason talk a few minutes. Catch your breath. A little
bit. He'll let me be quiet for a minute. And we'll get Jason on the mic over here. Yep.
All right, I'll be back. We'll be back just in a minute after these words from our sponsor.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Jason, Can you follow this act at all? Maybe, I don't
know. Well, Kyle's job is a lot more, there's a lot more to his job than mine, so I'm going to be a little more boring than he is.
Okay, let's introduce yourself.
My name's,
background on how you got here in Clay County.
My name's Jason Emberton. I've been a EMT for a little over 20 years now. I'm from Jackson County, lived there all my life. I've been married for going on 25 years now. I've got a son, 24 years old. I've been here this time for about 3.5 years. But I worked here once before for 4 years or so, and I spent some time in Jackson County working and worked at Cookeville Regional before, so the hospital wasn't really my cup of tea, so I got back out of that and got back on the road.
Back out in the countryside.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, like I said, you're from down in Jackson County, and, I mean, you guys... do you move around a lot? I mean, you know, I know that this is a career for you. Does it require you moving around a lot and looking, I mean, not necessarily looking, but if opportunities open up, are you planning on staying here with us for a pretty good while?
Yeah, I'm going to be here as long as they'll have me. I'm getting to the point in my career where I'm happy in one place. You know, I've been doing it for a while, and I like it here, and it's more my speed here.
And well, how did you get involved in this career choice?
I started in the rescue squad in Jackson County back in 1999 or 2000 and so, and got some friends that are EMTs, and they let me come right along with them, and it just kind of felt like something I'd like to do, so I gave it a try, and been with it ever since.
Well, now, how about the ladder you've climbed to get here? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've never been in a position like I'm in right now. Started out at an EMT basic, did that for a while, and I was an EMT IV, and then now I'm an advanced EMT, and the next level up will be paramedic. But I mean, I'm just been putting in my time.
Okay, now guys, we right now with our situation here in the county, and we have seen this statement in a lot of different places that said that our EMT is our emergency room here in Clay County.
It is.
I know you guys have seen that.
Yeah.
And, you know, how do you respond to that, and what do you think of that? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, we really are right now with no hospital. We're the emergency room for you. I mean, we can do a lot in the back of the truck that they can do in the ER. And, I mean, it's...
Of course, you know, the thing we hear, you know, seconds are precious and
exactly.
a lot of those things. And it was something that I want to give you guys a chance to fully explain. You know, you guys have the bad rep and all this stuff about things. I know there are rules and regulations that you guys have to follow. And the one we got thrown at you guys all the time was, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. If you come to pick me up and I'm there and I say, I give you directions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in charge of the directions, aren't I? Up until what point, Kyle or Jason, either one, is there a point where that you may have to make a decision? I know that. I mean, that would be a tough call.
So I'll do this one, Jason. So if you're mentally incapacitated and you can't make your own decision, what I think is best to save your life, so it'd be implied consent. So if you're having a heart attack, why would I take you to a facility that's not going to treat your heart attack? What they would do is lab work, verify that you are having a heart attack, and then you'd have that first hospital bill. Then you'd have another EMS bill to transfer you from that hospital that we took you to that could not treat your heart attack to a facility that could. So you'd end up with two ER bills and two ambulance bills when we could just take you straight to the source, be one-stop shop and have everything done for you. And the matter of this is time. Heart attack, time is muscle. You hear that all the time. Cookeville Regional, they're big advocates that time is muscle. And it really is 90 minutes permanent damage to your heart. If they don't have that vessel that's occluded inside your heart, which is a heart attack, if they don't have that stented or removed, it could be irreversible damage to your heart. So, like I said, it's all about time for us. We want to make the best decision for you and make sure that you understand if we take you to this hospital that cannot treat you, that it's at risk to your own health.
But, you know, if I sit there and say, well, I want to go there, you're going to go there, aren't you?
Yes. But like I said, Thomas Muscle, it comes on me as a provider to make you understand that this is hazardous to your health and that we need to take you somewhere that can treat that complaint or that you have. Same way it would be a stroke. You have 3 hours before you have that permanent brain damage.
You know, that, of course, that like I said, that's something that you guys had to put up with a while here.
Yeah.
And with so much misinformation and things, and I know there are regulations, but there is, you know, we've always heard that the EMT, the ambulance is supposed to stop at the first hospital they go by.
Yeah.
And we know that's not.
Yeah, right. It's definitely not true. So if you think about it this way, Cookeville, they're known for cardiology. Skyline's known for neuro. Vanderbilt is known for trauma. They're those designated hospitals for a reason. They have that licensure level, and they've been accredited to that certain specific level for that complaint or that health concern.
And you guys, the guy driving the ambulance, and of course, you're in charge of all of this, and like I said, apparently you do a pretty good job.
We try, honestly, at the end of the day, we just want to do what's best for our patients. If I have to take you an hour away from here and I think that's what you need, that's what I'm going to do. Whatever I believe that you need at that time, it's up to the paramedic and the EMT, their team, everywhere they go, and they want to make the best decision to save your life or get you the best treatment possible.
Okay, and now, as far as, do we have, I think there's a hospital down in Lafayette is still in operation. Do they have a trauma center there?
No, the trauma center would be somewhere in Nashville.
That's what I thought. Even Cookeville doesn't have a trauma center.
No, they do not.
A certified trauma center. So if it's something along that line, there's no choices to be made, are there?
Exactly, yeah. It's, like I said, it goes back to that time. You need to get blood. You need to get emergency surgery. That'd be the trauma center that did that.
Okay, now let's go to AirVac a minute.
Okay.
Landing a helicopter over at the fairground.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I'll notice that, if a helicopter is coming in from Albany, that they'll go down the river and come around and come back that direction. Maybe some other time they'll circle. Is that wind conditions or is there some type of clearance or anything like that? I know, you know, coming down the river from Kentucky is an open field and clearance, but coming up the river is forest.
They have different reasons why they did that, a couple different reasons. And one would be they're trying to find what wind, so they land into the wind, trying to find the wind direction itself. And also, they're going to make sure that there's no wire, so they're making that circle, those couple passes, to make sure there's no power lines, even if they've landed there before. But sometimes you might not get a pilot that's landed there before, so he's just circling around to make sure there's no hazards or anything like that. So it's a couple different factors that comes into play.
Okay, what about designated pickup spots here in the county? Do we have some places that they know they're going to be going to?
Yeah, so we have quite a few designated LZ areas. So throughout Herman Springs, it would be the Herman Springs Park. And Moss would be LWP. I think it's called something manufacturing now, but we always know it as, or we all know it as LWP.
I think that's where they make all the Smith.
Yeah. There's quite a few of them out there, ain't they? Yeah.
I think it is Smith manufacturing.
it may be.
That's where they make all these Smiths.
Yeah. And then for town here, we have the fairgrounds, and you'll see them landing at the nursing home sometimes.
Yeah.
It's all about that time where they're on this side of the river or they're on the town side of the river. And then that's pretty much the LZs that we have set up right now.
Has there been any, talking or anything about a permanent landing pad somewhere? Or
there hasn't been any talk, but it would be beneficial for the county and for the residents if we could put an LZ somewhere. And the thing with that is you have to meet the regulations of the FFA or FAA, and you have to meet those regulations, so they have to come inspect it and make sure you have all your beacons and stuff on the power lines if there's any adjacent to them and stuff like that. So that plays into regulation, but it would be beneficial if we could come up with an LZ site.
That that they knew where they were going.
Yeah.
And they would be familiar with the entrances, the exit.
Yeah.
From every direction.
Yeah.
Okay, now, of course, most of our flights here, I guess, go to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
We do, okay. Now, what would go to Erlanger that maybe it would be especially there would need to be? Can you think of anything right offhand other than just the choice of folks that want, that was the, maybe their hospital?
Yeah, most of the time anything that goes east, so such as Erlanger or UT itself, if they want to go there, they're level one trauma centers as well, just like Vanderbilt. So the only, most of the time, the only time people go there is if the flight crew is trying to beat the weather that's coming from the west and they're going to head east, so they're not flying into the weather itself.
So, I mean, they're, of course, most of us here are more familiar with Vanderbilt and the Nashville area than we are the Erlanger. But what you're saying is basically they're equal in service capability.
Yeah, they're level one trauma centers, yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, it's time to take a little short break. I need to read my birthdays. I tell you, you keep looking at your watch. Have you got some place you want
I've seen you look at yours, so I was going to look at mine. I thought we were going to run over or something here.
No, we're just about halfway through here. I got to make sure I got to get these things in, because if I don't, I'll get chastised.
All righty.
I've got a voice in my ear. I'm just kidding, Randy.
Yeah, I do too. It's my wife, yeah.
Okay. Birthdays today. We don't have as many as we did last week. We've got quite a few. We've got Kim Grace celebrating a birthday on the 23rd. Ms. Trixie Savage on the 25th. Joe Watson on the 29th. Judy Smith, the 29th. And Jacob Walker on the 24th. His family called in. We'll make sure that we got his birthday up here. And with that, we, like I said, toward the end of the show, we'll draw out a lucky winner that'll win one of those delicious ice cream cakes from over to Dairy Queen. But with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest-growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We haven't been gone too long. We're still all awake here and anxiously awaiting to return. How's that?
That's it, yep. Yeah.
Okay, Jason, let's talk about you and the things you do.
Well, I just take care of the day-to-day operations at the ambulance service, making sure our trucks are work in order and making sure we have all the supplies we need, and, you know, I have a budget I have to keep up with at the city, and just any kind of meetings with the Directors Association and city council, and I have to go to the county meetings too sometimes, so.
Okay, we're in kind of a strange situation here with the ambulance service, aren't we?
Yeah.
I guess you guys work for the city.
Right.
And the county owns all the equipment.
They do, yep.
And, well, let's talk about equipment a little bit. How about refurbishing, resupplying? What's going on with that?
Well, we've got some pretty good equipment down there. We've got LifePak monitors. We use those quite a bit. We got CPR machines now that got to do compressions, and we have to go out and somebody doing CPR that does compressions while we go to the hospital, so it frees up the paramedic to do other things like giving their cardiac drugs and all that.
Okay, now, what about your modes of transportation? You got any new additions here in the last little bit?
Well, we got a new truck in 2009, four-wheel drive. It's the first four-wheel drive we've ever had, I believe. We applied for another grant to get another truck this year. We haven't heard about that yet, but hopefully we'll get one just like it.
Well, now, have you taken it up the Divide and Ridge yet to see how well it works?
Well, we haven't yet, but...
You're going to jinx us. You keep talking like that. You'll see us going up there tonight or something. Yeah. You'll see the lights flashing through the woods.
That's a unique place up there. I don't know whether Kyle's ever ridden his four-wheeler up there or not. A little road through the woods going all the way out to Moss.
Yeah.
It's been a public road for about, 200 years here in the county. We finally decided that was the main road from the folks in Moss that wanted to come to Salina. And if you were going to Butler's Landing, you went down the Moss-Arcot Road and took a ride down there and went down to Butler's Landing where the steamboats landed down there. But I know your equipment, there's a time limit on how long you can keep things in operation. And then tell us a little bit about specking out to go get a new ambulance.
Right. Well, we applied for a grant. I don't really know what all you have to do to spec one out. I've just, Natalie did all that before, so I'm just really learning how to do all that. The way we spec this truck is the way we got our last truck. We wanted one exactly like it because everybody likes it so good, and it's a four-wheel drive, so we're going to try to stick with getting the same kind of truck every time.
Well, now, right now, with the four-wheel drive, here in this county, I know we have lots of folks that have moved in here that are living in places that aren't really accessible by just a normal vehicle. And, I know you've noticed that. And I know a lot of those folks that come in here, they're used to calling something that was for you guys to come get them. And then there'd be an emergency station or a fire station 6 or 8 blocks from where they live.
Right.
I'm sure you've run into some of the folks wondering why it took you so long for you to get here.
Yeah.
Where I'm at, and you say, well, you're not living in downtown.
Right. Yeah, to get out to Hermit Springs, in some places it takes us a good 20 minutes to get out there. I mean, it's a good drive from Salina.
And in some places, if you go like the helicopter flies, it wouldn't take hardly as long, would it?
That's right. So
many of our roads were laid out by wagon trails.
I believe you're right.
Of course, you guys can't remember the old road to Livingston that I grew up with, where it took a minimum of 35 minutes to drive from here to Livingston, down the thing called the Devil's Backbone. And it was that. But, our main highway system here is pretty good in Clay County.
Yeah.
Of course, we do have one complaint, I think, with Highway 52. The only section of Highway 52 from over to Elgin on Highway 27 all the way to over in Robertson County that hadn't been improved is from the bridge to Hermitage Springs.
Yeah, it seems that way, yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, that's the only thing. That's the only part left.
Yeah.
And of course, the interesting story on that, years and years ago, we had a governor here named Gordon Browning, and he came up here at the courthouse square for some kind of political to do and everything, and he got sick riding up here, car sick and everything, and he promised the people in Clay County the next time he came up here there'd be a better way of getting here. Well, the next time he came, there was a better way. He flew in by helicopter. Okay, now all right, let's talk about you're responsible for it if we have to have a new ambulance. Not an easy process, is it?
No, it's not an easy process. Recently, I don't know if a lot of people know that the ambulance was involved in an accident. One of our backup units, so we run two primary ambulances, 24 hours, 365. There's two always there that we run, and then the other two that we have. So we have four total. The other two that we have, they're backup. So if two ambulances are out, Jason can call in a crew, and we would come in and staff those other ambulances. But one of our ambulances, one of the backup ones, was involved in an accident because one of the primaries was in the shop getting worked on. So it just so happened that we didn't lose one of our brand new ambulances. It was a backup one, but it was involved in an accident. Responded to a call, and like I said, we're just very thankful and grateful that it was a backup unit instead of one of the primary units that we got. And ambulances aren't cheap nowadays. Nothing's really cheap nowadays, but especially anything in the medical field, it's pretty expensive.
How much did that last one cost?
To $200,000. I mean, it's like $169,000, I think, is what it is total.
Yeah.
But around we were that. Lucky enough to get some grants.
We did get a grant for that one, and we're trying to get the same kind of grant for another one this year.
Okay, now, let's talk about our other emergency folks here, and that is all of our volunteer fire departments and our rescue squad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you maybe kind of, Kyle, in your position, are you kind of the head of that also in a way? I know that we don't have a countywide fire organization, but do they look to you for guidance, and do you think that you can offer guidance in?
Guidance, yes. To be honest with you, most of the fire chiefs that we have right now, they're very well experienced. They've been around this probably triple as long as I've been alive. So, but if they call and ask me for guidance, I'll definitely tell them and inform them what I know of and try to get them the help that they need. Usually they call and ask me if I can do something or if I can get them a resource or something like that they may need during emergency operations.
Okay, now, I do know that when we had the scare up at Wolf River,
mm-hmm.
that we came up with an emergency evacuation plan.
Uh-huh.
That's still in place for any type of evacuation, or it would, of course, be different from a flood or a fire. Do we have all those type plans filed somewhere or another?
Yeah, there's a basic emergency operations plan, and I have it down there. I have a book down there that tells me what exactly to do if a major flood happens or if a major fire happens, say the nursing home or the high school or something happens to one of those places. I have guidelines, and they're looked at every 2 years, and they're updated as times change, and COVID plays a big factor into it now because no one kind of really saw it coming, and then all of a sudden a tenth of the county has been affected by COVID, and now we have the vaccine, so that plays a big factor into it too. So when we go to and we'll update something to do with COVID.
Okay,
now, get a game plan together.
I think you have, I'd call them rendezvous spots here in the county,
mm-hmm.
For various things. In case of flooding, where's the high spots you look for?
Well, P. Ridge would be a high spot. That's pretty much top of Walker Hill as well. My main goal would be to get the fire stations open and kind of set up a shelter site there. So, back when the ice storm happened, it affected East Clay, that area, over towards Allen, which East Clay is still part of Clay County, hence the name East Clay. But their fire department actually opened as a shelter site, and they needed cots. So we went and requested cots from TEMA, and they supplied those cots to us, and I delivered them out there, and they had that shelter site open up there for them. So.
Okay, yeah, I know. Most folks that haven't done much research on our county don't really realize that at one time you could throw a rock across the creek from Pea Ridge to Willow Grove.
Yeah.
Instead of driving 100 miles around the countryside to get down there.
Exactly, yep.
And I know that's kind of a problem, too, for you all, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there along the line like there, the cooperation with Overton County.
Yes.
Four services up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a pact with them now where that, you know, if there's certain times if something needed in 10 minutes that they can be there and you guys get there as soon as you can?
Yeah. So Overton County, they run that side of the East Clay. They run their emergency calls over there. The ambulance service for Overton County does. And so if they were to send an ambulance over there and then they didn't have one for their response or their county, we would send one over there if we had one available. So we kind of rely on each other. Same way with Jackson. It's kind of like you scratch my back, I scratch your back. If you've got an ambulance open, because emergency services, you can't really plan when your next 911 call is going to happen. Hence 911 call, you don't really know when everything's going to come in. Like you can get 10 calls in the next 30 minutes or you can go all day without having one. So.
Well, you know, very seldom do we sit here at the radio show on Thursday morning. We don't hear one of you guys go through.
Yeah.
At least sometime between 9 and 10 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And what is the most, I guess, I won't say the most popular, but the most used for our ambulance service right now? What call do you get more of than anything else?
I'd say it's about even between cardiac and shortness of breath.
Yeah.
And those kind of play into each other. If you're having a heart attack, shortness of breath is kind of signs and symptoms. Or if you're having shortness of breath, it could be a heart attack not presenting with chest pain, that we caught it early enough that the onset sign was shortness of breath. And then you have COVID affecting the shortness of breath as well. And then COPD, there's so many respiratory factors that would show shortness of breath. And it's kind of the team goal to determine what that root cause of the shortness of breath is, whether it be COVID, pulmonary embolisms, strep throat, RSV in kids, anything along that. But I would say that's our number one cause, shortness of breath.
Okay, and you know, the COVID thing, what kind of effect has that had on the number of calls? Have you got in
the first 3 months that it hit, our calls were way down. I guess nobody was wanting to go out of the house, so we was like 30 or 40 calls a month, but we're back to about normal where we were before COVID right now.
Have you made actual true COVID, very many true COVID calls where you had to go and pick someone up?
We have,
That had emergency basically problem with COVID.
Yeah, we have a lot.
And I know, of course, we have been fairly lucky here. We have had a few outbreaks, but... And of course, we thought we were pretty much isolated, and we were until we got unisolated and went somewhere and brought it. And brought it back. But let me ask you this: fake calls and junk calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that probably it's untelling how many of those you guys get. Do you make a decision where you're at, whether or not you follow up on something, or if somebody calls in and says you got to go, right?
Mm-hmm. If you call 911 and request an ambulance, we're coming.
Yep.
Either, it doesn't matter. That's kind of our job to determine what the complaint and what the cause of injury may be. If someone calls 911, we like to believe that it's an emergency to them. People have different definitions of what an emergency is, but if you call 911, we're assuming that it's an emergency for you and it's going to be an emergency for us.
It better be.
Yeah. No, we don't care. We'll come 24/7, 365. You call, we'll come get you.
Yep.
You about tricked me there, didn't you? I see what you did.
So, have we had any calls much with Granny wanting you to come get the cat out of the tree?
No.
Not a lot.
No.
But not very often.
But do you get some of those there once in a while?
Occasionally we will.
Yeah.
When do you go help Granny get the cat out of the tree?
If we can, we have.
Yeah. I said if you call, we'll come. But the funny thing about the cats in the tree, I don't think I've ever seen a skeleton of a cat inside a tree anywhere in my life. So unless I haven't been paying attention.
I can go here. The most unusual call either one of you guys have ever been a part of. Jason.
Oh, man, I don't know, doing it so long, there's a lot of unusual calls. I don't know if I can pin it down to just one call. I don't know. That's a good question.
How about the most remarkable non-serious call you ever got?
Well, I mean, in Jackson County, we did used to have to always go to this place where she would always want us to ask us to wash her dishes, and she never would go to the hospital with us. I think she'd call out there for us just to help her out with her chores.
Have some company.
Yeah, some company, yeah.
And Jason and I got into that about a year or so ago. Jason and I are partners at the ambulance service, and we get a call for a fall, and we get in there and start cooking her breakfast. She ain't had breakfast yet.
Oh, yeah.
So we went in there and got her some biscuits, and I think we cooked some sausage for her. And,
sausage, yeah.
Yeah, so.
What did she share with you?
No, I don't think that she... Well, we cooked enough for her. I don't know if we cooked enough for us.
We had breakfast by the end, so we were just sticking for her.
And maybe, Kyle, what is the most serious maybe that you've ever been involved with, either one of you guys? That's something that you know, that's kind of stuck out in your mind that's, I don't know, something that...
Yeah.
I hate to get serious on you, but...
No, that's fine. There's so many calls, and you try to, PTSD is the main concern in EMS, just because you see so much, and you kind of, I think the reason that me or Jason can neither pinpoint one down is because we kind of put it in the back of our minds. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you see a lot of traumatic stuff. And but for me, it'd be pediatric calls. That's ones that weigh heavy
worst.
With me.
Yeah.
And those infect the mentality of an EMS provider.
You seem to remember those for longer too.
Yeah.
Kid calls.
Because kids are so innocent and. Accidents happen all across the world, and you can't predict
right.
if it's going to be an adult or a child, and it's just the way that it comes. And some providers are very unfortunate, and they have pediatric calls when it rains, it pours sometimes within a week,
yeah.
And it just keeps on them. So, but like I said, mine would be pediatric calls for sure.
And going back to an old Carter family song, The Wreck on the Highway.
Yeah,
I know we. I don't know, occasionally we have fatalities that are vehicle involved, but it seems like, you know, we don't have a lot of them here in Clay County.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess some of them have been, you know, like some off-road accidents and things like that. We were jokingly talking a minute ago about the four-wheel drive vehicles, but, you know, with the expanded and continued use of the recreational side-by-sides and things like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's something that it's picked up in the past few years with so many people involved, and sometimes that does involve going into the woods, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And have you run into any place where you had to walk in and carry folks out that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last year, to be honest with you, me and Jason, we actually trekked probably 2 miles back in the woods with all of our equipment that we needed to get a gentleman out. So, like I said, if you call, we're coming. So it may take us a minute to find out exactly where you are based on if you call 911 via cell phone, but for them to pinpoint your location. But if you call, somebody is definitely coming.
Okay, and the status of our rescue squad here now,
mm-hmm.
How active are they back up and going full steam now? Or?
Yeah, they're back up and going. Chris Watt, he's done a phenomenal job right now. He's the captain down there, and they're actually having an open house. So if any of the public wants to come, I believe it's next Saturday is when they're doing it. I believe that's May 9th. I don't have a calendar in front of me. So they're actually doing an open house, and you can come in there and meet the new members that they have. And they've actually got 13 or 14 members, and they're just trying to rebuild it and get it back to where it was. The fire departments, they had really stepped up and took over extrication when we had that incident with the rescue squad a couple of years ago because we didn't have anyone to come actually do extrication and cut
the doors or the jaws of locking things.
So the fire departments really stepped up and they did extrication, and they're still going to continue extrication with the help of the rescue squad as well. So we'll have additional sets of rescue tools, so the rescue squad may come, and then the fire department is going to be coming as well.
How many of those pieces we got the jaws of life, dude?
I know East 52, they have one or two. I believe they have two, and Hummer Springs, they have one or two as well, and Salina down here, they have two, and the rescue squad, they have two. So depending on where you're at in the county and how many vehicles are involved is kind of how we coordinate the resources of how many rescue trucks are coming and to that extent.
Okay, with our great attraction here, how do we handle accidents on the lake?
Accidents on the lake, the rescue squad, so they have two operational smaller boats, and then they have that pontoon boat as
right.
well, so we'll get a response out of them. And E-52, not a lot of people know this, but they also have a two fire boats as well, so they can do fire suppression, and we can also use those to rescue people from accidents that happen on the lake. We get a lot of tourists here, people from up north down here, to come visit our beautiful lake, I mean, and they come from all around, like I said, and accidents happen everywhere, chest pains, other predisposition medical history or hazards happen out there on the lake as well, so.
Yeah, I can remember from working the number of years I worked around the lake that occasionally, not very often, but there would be a heart attack on a houseboat somewhere way back up in a hollow.
Yeah.
And okay, that I just got a voice in my ear.
Okay.
How do you find a spot
if you don't know, how do you go about finding if someone calls in and they don't, they call you on a landline or something?
Mm-hmm.
How do you pinpoint exactly where to go?
So if they call on a landline, we have an integrated 911 system, so it pings up on a computer screen down there at our dispatch. It says, this number is at this house, a landline. It's super easy for that computer to detect where you're calling from with a landline. Cell phone, it gets a little tricky. So when the cell phone calls 911, it pings to the closest tower. And it kind of depends on if the person knows where they're at, but they know that they're in the vicinity of that tower itself, and then they can call the cellular provider if need be and have them give you coordinates to where that phone is exactly at.
Okay, so you just said the word ping there.
Yeah.
And that I've known about for about, I don't know, 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
But anyone that gets on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
anyone, anywhere, when they get on there, they have address on that computer that can be tracked to exactly where it's sitting.
Yeah.
And I know it goes through Twin Lakes here because they have, I guess, their own numbers.
Yeah.
And then you go to their office, and from their office, it would tell you that right now I'm using 98 dot, 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 whatever
yeah.
at my house. Well, that next time, that IP address may be at my neighbor out in Moss.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you can't defend on them when it comes up and says, here it is. He's right over here. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't
yeah,
work with a cell phone.
Yeah. And another thing is, if you're away from a landline itself, so if you're not at home or anything like that, and then you don't have cell phone service, that plays another big factor. So someone may, an accident may occur at this area, and they're like, oh, no, I don't have cell phone service. They have to travel to another area just when they get cell phone service and call from there. So they have to leave that accident scene just to be able to notify 911.
You know, and sometimes, as an old technology person, I used to like to run a thing called TraceRoute, where I would have an IP address,
mm-hmm.
and I'd type that in and say, you know, trace this route. And it is amazing to see sometimes all the different hops and jumps that to get from one place to another. Oh, hey, guys, guess what? We're about to run out of time.
About to run out of time. You got us talking over here.
Yeah.
Can't go get us out of here now.
I totally enjoy days like this.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you guys may say something, or I may say something, and we think, hey, I need to talk about that just a second.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to be out here and talk to everyone and just introduce ourselves, and we're thankful that you invited us up here today.
Okay, now who wants to give me the number between 1 and 5?
Kyle, you pick it.
Let's go with number 3.
Right, Joe Watson.
Joe Watson.
Joe, you have won an ice cream cake. So you need to come over to the Chamber of Commerce and pick up your little gift card for the Dairy Queen and go over. And I hope you and your family enjoy your birthday cake. And with that, I guess it's time we shut the doors here. We got everything put back up, I think.
He's kicking us out.
Well, I'm sorry. They make me do that. But we'd like to, you know, thank everyone for joining us this morning. And we hope that you have enjoyed this. And if you like what you heard, tell your neighbors. It gets rebroadcast at 6 o'clock tonight. And if you guys want to be radio stars, tune everybody in down at the Mercy Services tonight.
Yeah.
On 101.5 FM, which 101.5 Kicks Country, WVFB, from right here in Salina, Tennessee, with the broadcast tower at Midway. So with that, I guess it's time we said, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here at the corner of the courthouse next week. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.